and as they are in you, they are in everyone, every entity in whatever planet and in every station in all of the realms of the creation. April 26, 1974. It is difficult at times for a channel, even an experienced channel such as this one, to clear his mind totally and to refrain from analyzing the concepts that are given unto him. However, this may be done with practice. It is easier if the new instrument has had a period of time of meditation prior to attempting to receive our contact. It is difficult to come directly from one's daily activities and involvement in intellectual exercises and to reach a state of meditation and freedom from intellectual thought that is required for a good contact. With practice, however, this may be done. It will be, 82, Chapter 2, Channels and Channeling, possible if one will practice through meditation to go directly into a state of non-intellectual analysis. This instrument is able at times to channel our thoughts very accurately. At other times, he finds it somewhat difficult to receive our contact. The problem is always the same. The problem is one of analysis and use of the intellectual mind. At this time, this instrument is not using his intellect or analyzing what we are giving unto him. He is simply repeating what is given unto him. This is what is necessary if a channel is to become a good, functioning channel. As I have stated earlier, the way to accomplish this is through meditation, a divorce of the intellect from analysis, a total freeing of one's mind of intellectual thoughts. This may be done through practice. This practice is simply meditation, a meditation in which the mind is allowed to relax and to discontinue its thoughts of that which affects you in your daily activities. 83, Chapter 3. The channeling experience. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening, and had opened my mouth, and my mouth was opened, and I was no longer dumb. Bible, Ezekiel 33 hours 22 minutes. Comment: as you have read in the messages, all that is needed to begin a meditation group, and to initiate contact with these sources of information, is the desire to do these things. If you can make contact with an already existing group in your area, that is recommended, for the guidance of their more experienced people is helpful. However, a group of people can simply begin a group by holding group meditations at least twice weekly, and practicing meditation in some form daily. It is to those who will attempt to contact the Confederation that this chapter is given. Perhaps some of the experiences which you may encounter will be described in these interviews with developing channels. Our only word of caution is a request that as you seek contact with the Confederation, you seek specifically that cosmic level of information which is beyond all the planes of this density, including the astral plane. Astral entities are often very interesting entities with whom to communicate, but their expression will have some degree of the subjective illusion under which those of this density labor. Therefore, their information is not dependable. Consider your consciousness as a radio tuner. And as you desire contact, simply desire the tuned contact. 84, Chapter 3. The Channeling Experience. Editor's note: Carla refined her procedure for making contact with any kind of discarnate entities and put her instructions in her 1988 book, A Channeling Handbook, and it is recommended reading before one attempts to do any kind of channeling. After the Confederation and you have established a dependable contact, then these other avenues may be explored. A word about the variety of time spans for the development of these channels. Two of the new instruments, J and M, were professional men in settled professions, which tended to make the development a longer process, due to the high involvement of the intellect in daily activities. D1 and D2 also experienced this difficulty due to the intellectual needs of their jobs. H, S1 and R work with their hands, and seemed to progress more quickly. And S2 was extremely rapidly developed, probably because she had been highly trained, previously, in Eastern forms of meditation and realization. Once aware that contact with this source of information was possible, she developed the beginnings of contact immediately. The longest it ever took, in my personal experience, for a person who desired it to achieve contact with the Confederation, was 12 years. On the other hand, S1 and S2 experienced the conditioning within the first week of their meditations. I have witnessed great control, with much conditioning, movement of tongue and mouth, and I have seen people achieve contact with little or no conditioning. The youngest channel I ever heard was 18, the oldest, 68. It makes no difference as to your sex or your previous experiences. The key to the meditations is simply your desire. I can picture you asking, what happens if I get this contact, and then one day I decide I don't want it. 85, Chapter 3. The channeling experience. The Confederation abides totally by the law of free will. If you desire their presence, they are there. If you will not accept it, they are gone. One of these new instruments has already stopped coming to meditation meetings. He tells me that he still meditates, but the meetings and the channeling were not the path for him. This is very acceptable to the Confederation. What it is attempting to do is to get its information across to people of Earth. They have no strings on those people to whom they have been able to speak. They simply rejoice that they were able to speak. I stress this because much has been written recently about the difficulties of getting out of contact with occult powers, once contact has been made. The Confederation is not such an occult contact, but a cosmic contact with no strings attached. Interviews with Developing Channels. Interview with R. On February 4, 1974 R. I sat down and tried to quiet myself, and I guess after about 20 minutes I just realized that I was making all these weird movements with my mouth. And you, no, it's stuff I'd done as a kid. I just came to the realization that I'm doing it, I'm doing this. And I didn't know what it was. I guess maybe a few days later it hit me that it was probably conditioning. Carla, and what do you experience now in the way of conditioning? R. Well, sometimes it'll start as half a yawn. And sometimes it'll be that as I kind of quiet or relax, my mouth will just start opening, and then I'll just start making all these weird things. Carla, does your tongue move? 86, Chapter 3. The Channeling Experience. R. Yeah, everything moves. It's almost like I'm trying to get out of my body. In fact, I think that might even have been what I thought that first time. As I think about it, it was almost like a yawn you just couldn't grab a hold of or something. You know, like my jaw was pulled out. Carla, dislocated? R, yes, dislocated. I think it can happen. And then, a lot of times it gets really, really tiring, and a lot of times I cop out. I'll say, well, not now, and the next time we'll do it longer. Because it is kind of a hassle. I don't mean like pressure. I mean like energy would be if someone shone a bright light at you behind your back. You could feel it. Interview with J. On February 10, 1974 J. Vocal channeling is an interesting kind of a personal phenomenon. It's kind of hard to describe, however. When I became interested in the possibility of extraterrestrial communication, or for that matter from even a cockroach that was able to do it, it took a period of about 3 months of conditioning for me. Between 3 and 6 hours a day, and at the end of this time I was an awkward channel in that I required a lot of control, because I would fight the message. The fact that intrigued me was that even though the information that was being channeled would change from instrument to instrument, the format and subject matter was also the same, and I'm talking about at a single session. This would be following the same thread. In fact, there was an episode where I came in late. And I was the last channel used. And when the speaker signed off, as it is, he used his name, and I was afraid at first to sign off for him, but I proceeded, and it was the same channel who had identified himself earlier, before I had arrived at the meeting. I have a slight stutter in my speech, but when I channel I seem to be completely free from it. 87, Chapter 3. The Channeling Experience. As to the content of the messages, that's a great big argument I always had. Are these my thoughts or other thoughts? When you channel you get a physical control but also a thought wave, and the more proficient channels are able to function on the thought wave without a whole lot of physical control. And I was always in an argument with myself over whether the thoughts were mine or someone else's. Carla, tell me, what physical reactions did you have to conditioning? What it felt like? Jay, well, it's kind of a weird feeling, as if it isn't you. But then again it has to be you, because that's what's causing that popping noise that you hear. There's a lot of tongue wiggling, flying open of the jaw, and kind of a grunting sound, and when you receive conditioning, you think that something has turned loose in your brain, and you're having some kind of fit. It actually seems to be quite controlled, and the speakers that I would channel would have their favorite methods of control. For example, Hatton would always want to begin the sentence with I or I am, whereas Lighters would begin with we, or occasionally I. What you have is the word formed in your mind and your jaw seems to move to form it, but it isn't really a conscious effort. I can't seem to put it any better because I haven't analyzed it completely. Interview with S2 on February 17, 1974. Carla, just describe what you have felt after two meetings with a group of this type. S2, well, I started my first experience with conditioning when I was meditating and keeping myself open as a channel of love and light for the Creator. And suddenly my tongue started moving around in my mouth. It was being moved by others than myself. I received some messages, such as have no fear, sister, and the word or name Ezekiel came into my head very strongly twice. I wasn't familiar with him, although 88, chapter 3, the channeling experience, that evening I read all about him in the Bible. George Hunt Williamson also has a chapter that explains who Ezekiel is. And after that, since I was eager to be a channel, throughout the day and evening I would leave myself open, and they would start conditioning me, continue conditioning with my tongue, sort of exercising. And then yesterday, I was meditating for about 3 hours, and my whole mouth and face started being moved like ours. I got a mirror, and was watching my face change with all the contortions, exercising the muscles to stimulate the telepathy. I didn't get very far as words, but my mouth was going through the motions of the words. The strongest feeling was when I could feel something creaking in the bones of my face, like something was coming in me. It was very much similar to the whole feeling and sound of having a baby. I can't explain it. Anyway, it continues whenever I open myself to it. When the being is coming in you to channel, it's not a grinding sound, but sort of like a forcing of another entity in yourself, sort of a stretching of your whole frame and structure. It actually makes a noise. Carla, did you feel anything on your head? S2, I felt all through my head. I was watching my face in the mirror, and the whole face was moving. The top of my head was feeling very open too. Carla, were you getting any words? S2, I am hat on. That was it. Carla, and how long has it been since you first experienced this? The two figured together, it was 5 days. She had heard about the space meetings a week before that. 89. Chapter 3. The Channeling Experience. S2, I was getting a lot of thoughts which I didn't mention because it was without control and I didn't know where it was coming from, whether it was coming from me or where it was coming from. But certain phrases kept being repeated, such as, you are an angel, and avatar. I don't know if that was for me, because I guess I don't understand the nature of that. It would never occur to me that it would be possible to look on my past life. You know? Interview with Michael on February 17, 1974. Carla, describe what you experienced during the process of conditioning. Well, it started last summer. What you experience in the beginning is really strange. You don't know quite what's happening. But it started with an uncontrolled opening of the mouth, which is in the form of a yawning sensation, and there's a stretching of the muscles of the jaw, which opens and closes the mouth in sort of an uncontrolled manner. You really don't have any control over it once you relax and let your body be free. It just happens, you know? A muscular exercise seems to be taking place in the jaw bones and in the throat. The second stage seemed to be when the inner throat and the tongue started to roll up, and to me that seemed like an exercise for forming words. That's the feeling I was getting. A lot of the times I felt, later on this winter, that just prior to actually speaking, that words were actually being formed in my mouth, but I didn't know what they were. But there was the feeling that something was happening there. One other thing, for me anyway, there was a lot of crying of the eyes, like a lot of tears flow from the eyes during the stretching of the mouth, and also there is some movement of the neck and the head, a kind of back and forth movement that kind of relates to the stretching of the jawbone. I think 90, Chapter 3. The channeling experience. It's a natural movement. And as the jaw is opened up, the head is thrust backwards. It's kind of hard to describe. It just happens. Carla, have you felt anything on your head?
Yes. My scalp has gotten really tight feeling, and I've also felt a whole lot of warmth. The whole top of my head starts almost sweating. It gets really hot, almost like an energy field is there, you know? I feel like there has always been a certain amount of doubt, just because we kind of grow up with all kinds of conditioning and blocks which make us think that anything having to do with outer space communications is Buck Rogers, unreal, almost. But in the last year one feel like I've been trying to clear out a lot of that kind of thinking, and really open my consciousness up to a more universal consciousness. And in doing that, I felt a lot freer and a lot better about it. When you try to look at the kind of content of the messages that we are receiving, I don't think there's any question about the truth that lies in the spirits, the way it's being talked about. I've never really ever experienced any negative thought in any of the channeled messages that I've experienced here or with anybody else that's been associated with it. Carla, did you ever wonder whether anything that you ever channeled was your own thought?
Yeah, I feel like there is some part that goes on there. That's the hard part to separate. And that's like a big hurdle and a big transition that you have to make with your own conscious being and any kind of message that you're possibly picking up telepathically. When you first get a few words, you naturally wonder whether they're yours or someone else's, out there. But again, it just comes from being able to relax your own consciousness and let it flow. It's been a problem for me. 91, Chapter 3. The channeling experience. I feel it's a problem for everybody. Probably, in different degrees. But I do feel like it's real. Interview with D on February 19, 1974. D1, I was talking about the feeling in the back of my head. Well, yesterday was when I had the feeling a little bit stronger. And it felt a little bit like you were wearing a yarmulke. It felt like someone was touching you just enough that they were touching the hair, not the head but the hair. And I'd been meditating long enough that I had that floaty feeling. I'd been sitting still long enough, and I got this feeling at the back of my head, and then I got this tendency to move my head backward, and at the same time almost uncontrollably wanting to open my mouth wide. It's very hard to fight personal anxiety, where you feel, well, maybe I'm getting something, maybe I'm not, and then you get just a rush of frustration and tense up a little bit. And then you say, well, this isn't any good. I'm going to have to relax if I'm going to get anything. And then when you relax you find that there's a little pressure this way or that way, so you totally let yourself go. And you feel your mouth very slowly moving either one way or another. And it seems as though it's coming mentally. I feel like moving my jaw sideways. And then don't know whether I'm moving it or whether it's being moved. I'm sort of floating into the path of least resistance. And you have to be very quiet and very relaxed in order to find out which way the path of least resistance is. And you just float into it. When I was feeling it stronger, because I wasn't relaxed, I was sitting on the floor and about the time I started getting the feeling on the back of my head, it was a little like leaving my body. And that was when I had the feeling of being separated from my jaws. And I don't know whether it was like my consciousness was very tiny, and I was conscious of a large mouth. Or 92, Chapter 3. The channeling experience, whether it was just an illusion, but that was it. Suddenly I had left a connection with all of my senses, and I was just kind of floating there, and I was feeling this flowing, the path of least resistance, with my mouth. And my consciousness was at the top of my head where the skull cap was, and I was mentally looking down and aware of the mouth. Interview with D2 on February 19, 1974. D2. Probably the most vivid experience for me was the first time, and that was really bizarre. I was meditating, and I'd been trying to get into a lot of 3D eye things. Carla, you mean, feeling the third eye? D2, actually, inner vision, I guess. I don't know what you'd call that. Carla, what had you been doing? Thinking about it? D2, yeah. When I meditate,
I tried to focus on it. And I was very much aware of two parallel lines set out about at arm's length. It was almost like rickrack. There was a green, zigzag line, and a blue one. And they were vibrating intensely. And although I was staring straight ahead, I was able to see both of them perfectly, which was really bizarre. And if I could maintain my attention on those two things, I was going berserk. And my heart was, I'm surprised that everyone in the room didn't hear it. And my breathing was erratic. It wasn't nearly as slow, I think, as yours. Carla, people have different types of conditioning, but it all involves moving the mouth and jaw. D2, I don't get anything. My tongue doesn't seem to be getting any motion at all. My jaws are killing me. Why do they make the jaws go way over here, or way over there, or... Carla, all I can think is that they're trying to get us all set up to say we. 93, Chapter 3. The Channeling Experience, D2, yeah, I do AE a lot. Carla, or I or you. Debbie, yeah, I get those too a lot. Yup. I get that I when yawn. I. Carla, yeah, and then you get all the way into the yawn and you find that there's nothing to yawn. Debbie, right. Carla, thank God we do this mostly at night, that's all I have to say. D2, I'll get my mouth all the way into a yawn, and I can't get it closed. It'll lock there. They're just killing me, my jaws are. Carla, well, the only thing we can hold to is that eventually we'll beat channels. Because eventually it'll happen only a little bit, when we channel. Like R, who doesn't get conditioning anymore. He only gets conditioning just before he channels. And I know that's true of Don. Debbie, but I'll be driving the car, oh. And it's about to take off my head. Carla, that's happened to me, too. Interview with H on March 6, 1974. H, it first happened here, a week ago today, at the meeting we had. And we were told in the contact coming through Don that everyone in the room was receiving conditioning. And I had never, ever even thought I was or felt anything until then, and then I did start conditioning lightly, not a great deal. And then that evening after I went home I was meditating I started receiving it quite a bit. It impressed me as not being anything that I myself could not do. But I also realized that I was attempting not to do it, and it was still happening. 94, Chapter 3. The Channeling Experience. Well, as far as to the first time it happened, that's it. And like you say, it doesn't impress me to be anything I couldn't do. And that is what's so hard to decide, to let go of that feeling of whether you're doing or they're doing it. It's really a hard decision to make. Carla, what kind of effects did it cause? H, the first couple of times it was mostly to the side. And then after a couple times of meditating my mouth started to open wider. And the supposed to be yawn started coming. The first half of the yawn would come. Carla, and then you found out there was nothing after. H, yes, and then there was nothing left once my mouth was open. But at first, it was like a really vigorous side to side and then about the third or fourth time my mouth started opening. But it's still mostly side to side. Except Sunday night. We were out at the meeting at Al's. And it was really strong that night, just every which way. Really, really strong. Strong as it's ever been. Probably due to the energy out there, for sure. Carla, have you felt anything besides the primary conditioning of the jaw and mouth? Have you felt anything on any other part of the body? H, there are things I felt prior to the conditioning. I felt a small amount of other energy during my conditioning. Prior to my conditioning I have felt some very strong energies in my spine, in my forehead. Carla, third eye. H. On top of my forehead, on top of my head. One night, I wouldn't sign an affidavit, but I could swear my hair was standing up. And this was the same night that I meditated about 3 hours and got this really, really sincere feeling that if I went out I would see a ship. And it was snowing and in 95, Chapter 3, the Channeling Experience, was really cold out and sat there after done meditating and tried to talk myself out of going out. You know, this is really strange. But I went out anyway and drove around in the snow. Nothing happened. But the next night, I very vividly saw a ship. So from then, I realized, well, that it was definitely was some type of telepathic impression that I got during my meditation, because it was so strong and I really tried to talk myself out of even thinking that way, thinking I was psyching myself up for something, you know. I really felt that I had psyched myself up for something when I went out and nothing happened. I wasn't even thinking about it the next night it happened. That was really strange. But that night, like I said, about 3 hours sitting and meditating, I had energies just rushing all over my body. I've not had them that strong since. Carla, you think it was just the length of time you had concentrated on meditation? H, I really don't know. I've gone several times for an hour and a half, nothing unusual. Interview with S1 on March 6, 1974 S1. Well, I just noticed my urge to move my mouth in this direction. I got those urges, those jerks of my arms, and we talked about it for a while before we meditated. And D1 mentioned the fact that he is conditioned to form the letter I. I don't know if I was myself making myself do it or what, but I got like that, demonstrates motion. And the other night I was meditating by myself and I think I channeled, I am hat on. It is a pleasure to be with you this evening. Then I decided that I was probably doing it myself. Didn't do anything after that. The night we meditated over at D2's house. I was getting some really, really heavy conditioning. It was just static everywhere. I really had a 96, chapter 3, the channeling experience, strong urge to start out talking. I just held it back and then a few minutes later D1 started talking. I should have gone ahead and said, I am hat on. I don't know. I know now that the words were trying to come. 97, chapter 4. About specific information, write it down, he said patronizingly. Why not? You seem to be more comfortable writing. Don Juan, a Yaqui Indian, to Carlos Castaneda, comment: the Confederation is not particularly interested in the type of specific information included in this short chapter, and in light of the philosophy which they have to teach us, I can certainly understand their preference for working with us at every opportunity on the basic spiritually oriented thoughts which they have to offer. However, occasionally a specific question will occur to a group member, following some event read or heard about. The following are answers which the Louisville group got to two such recent questions. Channeling Selections, May 14, 1974 Questioner: who were the UFOs that picked up Betty and Barney Hill, as told in The Interrupted Journey? Were they invaders? Were they evil, or to be feared? Do evil planets attempt to invade Earth? Hat on, we wish only to help all of the Creator's children, as we wish only to help you. We are, unfortunately, unable to help some who do not wish our service at this time. Therefore, we are content to wait until such time as they require our aid. 98, Chapter 4, about specific information: meanwhile we regard them with the love of the Creator for all of His created beings. To be afraid of such entities as you have called invaders is to be afraid of yourself, my friends. And it is not needed to be afraid of anything or anyone. I am aware that this does not satisfy your questions very well, and I will attempt to use this instrument for a more specific answer, although she will find it somewhat difficult, because there must be more control used, to which she is not used at this time. The entities of which you have spoken were friendly. They were a scientific expedition which had good intentions, but their knowledge of life forms on this planet was lacking. They had no intentions to commit any sort of infringement. They had been cautioned by the Confederation that it was best to refrain from investigating in areas populated by people. They wished only to collect specimens of the fauna of some parts of the planet and to gain data about the predominant life forms. They did not attack them. They will not attack you. Their intentions are positive. They are aware of our presence. Their presence is not a harbinger of any sort of enemy. May 18, 1974 Hat on. I am aware that you wish to know something about the confrontation between a combatant from another planet than your own and two of your people. The Pascagoula landing, my friends, was, as far as we are aware, not a completely isolated instance. However, It is the only instance which has been delivered into the hands of public knowledge. On the other hand, although it is not the only landing of that particular group of alien individuals, it is one of the very few. These peoples are members of a type of combatant group,